him, that was Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake at Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him. He was astonished and all that were with him at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Is this okay, Natalie? Can you just pull the loaves out of the voice? Let's take a minute and pray. Father, I ask right now as we gather that you would open our eyes and our ears and help me to communicate your word this morning. God, that you would capture our hearts, that you would be present in this place this morning, and Lord, that you would be glorified in all that's done here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing, Steve didn't know what I was going to talk about this morning. And I'm never sometimes amazed at when God puts things together. And I was listening to him share Gary's, the pastor at Second Baptist, his testimony of how he got saved and the call that he heard from God. this morning, if you want to title it, Called to Be a Servant, I want to look at, here's the early disciples as we recap. The first called disciples, Jesus shows up on the scene. These guys are out. They've been fishing all night, and he asked them, how's it going? Basically, he shows up, and he said, "Well, we've been fishing all night and got nothing." And then he speaks to them, and he says, "Well, drop your nets, as we just read," and they did, and the boats, they were overfilled, and we just read the miracle of what happened. But what happened more than that was that these guys encountered Christ. They encountered the living God. And Peter came to a point where he says, something happens when you encounter the living God, when you have a personal encounter. Your life is transformed. It's shaken. Your world is shaken. And if you stop and think back in your own lives of what happened when you met Jesus, when these guys encountered Christ, a couple things took place. They're overwhelmed, first off, by his presence. And that's what happens when you encounter a living God, and not just religion, as we often talk about. They came face to face with the Creator, and their world was shaken. And secondly, as Peter, as we read in verse 8, it says, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.'" We're confronted with our stuff. We're confronted with the fact that we are a sinful creation, that we're broken, that something is not right. And we've just now encountered a living God who not only did a miraculous work, we're overwhelmed by his presence, But we're also, we come face to face with our own, again, our own brokenness. And Peter was saying, depart from me, man. I'm a sinful guy. It says, for he was astonished at all that were with, and all that were with him at the catch. So also James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Henceforth he will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. They encountered a living God. They were in awe of his presence, of just what had happened. They've been fishermen for many, I don't know how long, but for many years. And they've never had anything like that happen. Jesus rolls in and begins to teach from his boat and tells them to cast the net down. He didn't just fill their nets. They encountered God. They came face to face with their own stuff, with their brokenness, with their, that they recognized the fact that they were a sinful creature. Think back on your own life when you encountered Christ, when he interrupted your path, when you realized that there was a God in this world that's far bigger than, you know, than anything that you've ever encountered before. All of a sudden, the light shines into the darkness. You look at yourself and go, man, I am messed up. And you come face to face with that, and you find your, and these guys found that they found themselves on their knees before God and say, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful guy. I don't need to even be in your presence. And then Jesus says something like, don't be afraid. That's a key verse, because he says that a number of times throughout Scripture. When a man of God has encountered either an angel or in Jesus himself or a presence of God, and they're told, do not be afraid. So now he speaks to these guys and says, hey, don't be afraid, for from this point forward, you're going to be fishers of men. There was a call on their life. They encountered a God. They're confronted with their own sin. Jesus tells them, don't be afraid. And now, something's changing. Something's happening. They're no longer just the fishermen. These are guys that were, their life from that point forward would be different, as ours is different when we encounter the living, when we encounter him. And when we choose to walk with him. They, at that point, from there on, then he says that they left everything. Can you imagine, you have a boat business, or you have a computer business, or whatever that you're doing, a chiropractic thing. You've been doing this stuff, you've gone to school, you're learning it, that's your life. And all of a sudden you encounter something that just turns your world upside down. To the point that these guys, and I don't know exactly how it doesn't go into all the details on how they made all the arrangements, but all of a sudden it just says that they chose to leave everything behind them and follow after Christ. You see, when we're saved, when we encounter Christ, we are no longer the same person that we once were. I mean, we are, but we're not. We are who we are. We have gifts. We have talents. We have things that we do. But when we encounter a living God, he now calls us from this kingdom of darkness that we once walked in, and when we did our own thing, and when we're out creating our own empire and building our families and doing all this stuff, these guys saw something, and they, whatever it was so dynamic that they chose to leave their families, to leave their business, and to come follow Christ. These were the first disciples that when Jesus first called men. So that was the start. So when you ask yourself, what happened? There's a call on their life. There's a call on your life. There's a call on my life. We're all, this isn't just, there are specific gifts and callings that God has mine has changed now in the last couple of years. It's moved. But I'm still not the same Gary that used to live out on the oil rigs and used to do my own thing and run all over the country and just have my own way. God interrupted my life, and things, my focus changed, my vision changed, my understanding of life changed. And so I'm here today. If you'll turn with me to Acts, I'm going to look at another Acts, the 9th chapter. You guys okay? You still with me? All right. Don't make me nervous now. I told you I'm just going to be me today, so. I would like some water, though. And the hose? I don't know. The cafe is closed today. The cafe is closed. If any of you guys have a gift, a call, something inside of you that's burning that says, you know what, I would really like to be part of that cafe, come see Mayor or come see and talk with Mayor, because there's somebody else that can come alongside and just say, I told Steve, this is bird walking, but as they say, but I just remember when we opened the cafe, that's because, as you know, some of you know, food service has been part of my life for many, many years, and I thought, man, if somebody would have handed me a commercial kitchen, get out of the way. And I didn't have to pay the bills on the place. I had a sandwich shop for a year and lost my house over it, so I get it. Anyway. Huh? Thank you. You're supposed to know. Yes. Acts, the 9th chapter, please. 9. This is the story of Paul. His name used to be Saul, but it got changed. Saul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. The man was well-educated, and he was zealous, what he thought was walking with God, and so he's out taking out Christians and killing them for sport. I don't know. That was his, he thought that's what he was doing in following God. And as you can read the story, I'm going to paraphrase it, I believe. But as you know, that he was on the road to Damascus with his entourage and their little Hummer or whatever they were driving at that point, their carriage of some kind. And he goes down the road, and he stopped in his path. You know, Jesus himself met him on the road. And as you read the story, you see that it was such a blinding light, and it was such a powerful God encounter. The other guys didn't know exactly what was going on, but something was happening. They knew Paul, he was out, he got away from out in front of these guys a bit, and Jesus meets him. He says, Paul, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you killing my church? He said, who is this, Lord? He says, this is Jesus whom you're persecuting. He then proceeds to go blind, and he was instructed to go. They took him into the town where they're going, and for 3 days he was blind, and he was wondering what the deal was, what's going on here. Let me just, I better read some of it because I'm kind of paraphrasing too much. Yeah, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but arise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard about this man and how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who will call upon thy name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized and took food and was strengthened. This was Paul's encounter. As we read earlier, these guys were in, Peter were in the boat. Jesus fills the nets. They had an encounter with Christ, with God. They were transformed. This was Paul's transformation. What was yours? Have you had one? What was the day that you knew you were in darkness, you encountered the living God, and now you're not? Now you're walking with God. What happened in those days? Sometimes, you know, some of us that have walked, we've been down the road a number of years, we need to stop and kind of just remember at times, you know. And not everybody has a Paul experience or a Peter, but they have a time where they've met the Creator himself face to face. And something changes. You are called out of darkness, and now you're in the light. You're called from the lifestyle you once lived and the way you used to think and the way you used to act and react. And God is now changing those perspectives. He's moving your position, as Dale would say. He's taking you from this place, and he has put you here, and he begins a process in your life. But a couple things I want to just point out. We're all called. Some of us are called to full-time ministry as my calling has changed, has moved. But I'm still a man that was lost and am now found, and I'm still a man that's full of the Spirit and walking. And my heart is different. My thoughts are different. My thinking is different. My actions should be different. I eat shoe leather once in a while, but I think all of us do that. But anyway, I'm in process. You kind of getting where I'm coming from? So when did you encounter Christ? I don't need any hands. I'm asking the question. What did it look like for you? What does it look like today? You know? I'm going to give you a little bit of my testimony, but first go to Jeremiah, the first chapter. And if we get done early, we get done early. Is that okay? Hear that, Steve? I don't have no water yet? Oh, you do. Thank you. Did you get out of the hose?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Huh? You appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. I would have. But. Thank you. Buy the CD, Steve. I'm not going to recap what you missed when I was gone. Jeremiah, the first chapter, starting with verse 4. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me." I'll try to get through this. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you to speak, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I've been walking with Christ for 34 years. 1978 is when I had my encounter, my Paul encounter, whatever you want to call it. That's when God interrupted my path and got my attention, and I said yes. Terry and I were reflecting on this the other day, and I think she was like 14 or 15 years old when Jesus came and became Lord of her life. My life changed. I hit a fork in the road, and like I said, I wasn't down on drugs. I wasn't out and about and just, I was lost. I didn't know I was lost, but I was. But what I'm saying is I wasn't at the end of my ropes, you know, I was just, it came a time in my life when I heard the gospel for the first time. I was 21 years old before when I heard that Jesus died for me and all that. I've shared some of that testimony with you before. 22 years old when I received Christ. It was sometime before Christmas that year. And and I often wondered, why me? You know, what happened, God? I mean, I looked at my family. All my family up to that point had none of them were churched. They've all been through divorce, everybody from my grandparents on down through my siblings. And I was the only one. I was basically next in line. But I thought, gosh, what? And none of them that I know of really were walking with God. You know, I mean, they didn't have the appearance of that. They didn't talk about it. They didn't share Jesus with me. No one ever. I went to Catholic church a little bit as a kid, but we quit going, and it wasn't something that was part of our life really after, I mean, my first communion, and I don't even know what that was. But something happened, and I thought this afterwards. I go, why me? Why, God? Why did you choose me? Why am I a believer, and the rest of my family are not? I mean, as far as back as I can look, I remember I did have an aunt that was a missionary, in the Methodist Church. Somehow, I've got some books I haven't even read yet. I just found them again, but I thought, well, maybe she was praying for me at some point or something. And Terry and I was asking my wife about this the other day, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. She says, I was praying for a godly. She says, I was praying for a godly husband. There I am. Told you I was going to be me. So the older I get, God, I could cry. I watch the stupid Restaurant Impossible shows and cry over that if they turn somebody's.
We'll lay hands on.
Yeah. No, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you know, kind of dear to my heart. I lost my house over our restaurant. Where was the guy when I was trying to make it happen? You know. Anyway, no, but so. Never diminish or belittle your prayers. Ask God what you want, you know, for your family, for your kids. Anyway, back to Jeremiah. A short time into our walk, again, going back, I got saved. You know, Terry was praying for me. She said, she threw me on the altar, burst off. She says, hey, we were dating for a while. She says, look, I kind of want the guy, but not like that. You got to do something with him, God, you know. And so, is that right, babe, huh? Yeah, says, I want him back, but he's got to be sanctified. You got to clean him up, man. So, needless to say, God got a hold of my life. Anyway. So here I'm talking about calling, giftings, calling, being a servant for Christ. So we begin our we got married. We begin our. She wouldn't marry me unless I got saved. I've told you guys that before. And so we begin our walk. But you know what happens is we look at our lives and everything that we did centered around serving God. It changed. Things changed. It wasn't that I just added some God to my life and our lives and continued on. It was, you know, when I had the hardest time, I think, was probably when we had our restaurant, our sandwich shop. Even though we were closed on Sunday, I stepped aside from the worship for a while. But When I went to the work for the boys' school, I purposely stayed an intermittent so I could schedule my schedule around to be involved in here. Now, let me just say this: you don't have to live here. That's not my point. I'm just saying that when God touched my life, our motives, our desires was, man, I couldn't wait to get to worship practice. I couldn't wait to lead worship on Sunday. I couldn't wait to be actively involved in ministering to people. You know, whether it's, whatever it was, God, the fire was ignited, my life had changed, and that's what my life was about. And that's what our lives were about as we moved forward. And so, yeah, we were called out of darkness into the kingdom, but not just from something to something. We're called to serve Him. That's what we're all called to do. Some of us have a little different calling to be here and to step out of the workforce as we know it, and have ministries in the church or whatever. And that's all. Like I said, that's just for me. That's just been in the last couple of years. But before then, I was still a servant of God. You get where I'm coming from? My life has changed. So as I'm reading this one day and. Bam, that just jumped off the page. You know, there's those unique times that God speaks to you through His Word. And you just cannot get away from it. And so I remember reading this Jeremiah, and I remember I can still see it today. I'm driving out 46, and we were living out in Jardine Road then. I was getting ready to turn left. And God brought this to my remembrance. I'd read it, because I was pondering over it. And it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations." I don't know what that means. I just know that God had His hand on, and He spoke, "This is for me." This was to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was around 20 years old when the word of the Lord came to him at this point. He was a young man. I was a young man when God grabbed my heart. I was new in ministry. I was new in the church. I was just, you know, I'd only been down the road just a short time, and this spoke to me, and He said, "I appointed you the prophets." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God," this, and I remember reading this and going, "Hey, that's me, man. I don't know how to speak. I still don't know how to speak. I can barely read." But, you know, I says, "God, you got the wrong guy. What are you talking about? I don't know how to do anything." And then He told me, he says, "Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and when I tell you to speak, you shall speak. Do not be afraid." That's huge. When God tells you something like that. Now, He spoke to Jeremiah. And when you study the Scripture, and the longer I've been studying the Scripture, you have to, the longer you go down, at first, you know, you start reading Scriptures, and they pop out, and, "Oh, that's for me. And the more you read it and study it and understand it, and you start tearing it apart, and you realize, all right, well, let's just break this down a little farther. This is a book that was written so many years ago, and it's a collection of writings and books and letters and different things. Who is writing it? Who is it sending it to? What's the topic? Why was he, you know, you have to find all these things out. Why were they sending these letters to these churches? What was that all about, you know? It's not just some magic book you pull out and boom. And everything that is in there is. You know, you can take to the bank. You got to understand at times. I mean, the word is true, but understand the depth and the meaning, and understand the big picture. And there's times that when you're young and when you're reading, that God will speak to you through things, and you don't have all that teaching. You don't have all that background. I still don't. I'm just barely getting started, 30-some years later, and I just realize how much I don't know. But so Jeremiah was a 20-year-old young man, and he was a prophet. Back with Obadiah and Amos and all these different guys, and he was prophesying at this time. And God spoke to him. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. But God used that, as I read that, to speak to my life. And He says, he was a young man. He didn't know how to speak. And God said, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. What I tell you to speak, you speak. And where I send you, you shall go." Anyway, this is one of those unique times that just landed. And it's been with me for 34 years, 30-some years. and is still unfolding. Just the depth of what all that means. But anyway, my point was is that I said at that point, God, I'm a young man. I don't know anything. What, it's not like Paul, who was well educated, and even Paul himself, he decided, as the scripture says, he decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and he went in fear and trembling under the power of the Holy Spirit when Paul went out. And he was an educated Pharisee of Pharisees, and as I said earlier. So my life, our lives have been, it's been sold out for Christ. We've been servants of God. I didn't know how to speak, but I said, okay, God, I have enough to say. I'll trust you. I will walk with you. And, you know, we all have those times where we have seem to have more faith than others, you know. I mean, but I said, okay, here's my life. The point being is you don't have to have it all together. In fact, it's many, many times through Scripture you find that God uses the person that's most unlikely at times in a situation. It's like Moses. The guy had a speech impediment or something. I don't know. He had issues. He had fear. He had issues. Man, I can't talk. He'd talk real slow and had issues. But yet, God chose Moses, you know. And he said yes. I have one other illustration. Go to the book of Jonah. And I don't know if he was really swallowed by a whale, but it was a big fish of some kind. That's a freebie. I just threw that out, okay? Terry and I were talking about that and says, I don't know if it was really a whale, but it was a big fish. And let's look at Jonah's life for a minute, and then I'm going to... It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Sorry, I don't want to breathe in this thing. The son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went on board to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God, and they threw the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. That to me always, you got a storm hitting, the ship's looking to break up, and this dude's down sleeping. How does that happen? Anyway, I don't have an answer, so don't look at me for an answer. I'm just asking a question. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call upon your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we do not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account the evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said that I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, What is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the ground, for the sea grew more and more, got worse. And he said to them, paraphrase, okay, Gary's version. Don't quote me on that. And he said to them, take me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more worse. I just want to see if you guys are reading your own Bible. Against them. Therefore, they cried to the Lord, we beseech you, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now let me say something about Jonah as I was continuing to read this. You know, you've heard the story. You know, I mean, I watched some of the kids' movies and different things. You see Jonah gets thrown over and the fish swallows him and so on and so on. And then he pukes him up at the end of the time. That's what it says. But you have to understand something. Jonah, he wasn't afraid of losing his life. He had him throw him into the sea. Jonah was running from the presence of God. The voice of the Lord spoke to him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, go into Nineveh, which, by the way, was just a real evil city. They were really brutally violent, especially against God's people. They were a real Gentile city, and he didn't want to go there. He said, no, I'm running from the... And so he took off running from the presence of God. How many times have we heard God's call on our life, and for whatever reason, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether it's anger, Jonah had some real anger issues. He needed an anger management class, as you can read the whole story. He really did, because he ran from the presence of God. God interrupted his path, threw him into the belly of a fish. And there you in the next chapter, you read his crying out to God and his prayer. And he's, you know, I mean, if you were in the, you're going to be crying out to God too. And at the end, like I told you, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but down in verse 10, it says, and the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's a bad day, man, but a good day too, bittersweet. So that, again, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the second time he does what God tells him. But he didn't go willingly. He didn't go with great joy. He went into the city, and you know, he did what he said, but he had an issue. He came with prejudice and anger. He was a man of God. He was an Israelite, and going into a heathenistic city, he didn't want them saved. He didn't want them because he knew God would forgive them. And the story goes on that the city, these people did. They heard the word of God. They repented. The leadership, the cows, everybody didn't eat. They went on a fast. They put sackcloth on, they said, and they just, they said, maybe God will turn around. And it says, let them cry mightily to God. Yea, everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger so that we perish not. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil. When have you heard God repent? God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The point is here's a guy that was called by God. Again, we're talking about calling. We're talking about servanthood. The word of the Lord came to him. He ran from the presence of God, much like we do, much like I've done at times. There's not, you know, I wish I could stand here and say, yes, every time God speaks to me, I do what he says. Man, I drag my feet like everybody else. You know, when he goes, go to this place, go talk to this person, do this, this, or this. The point is, are you hearing? Are you listening to God? Do you have something inside of you that says, you know, God, I want all that you have. I will serve you. I will follow you. Because we're all called to follow him. It may be in ministry full time. It may be in your job place. It doesn't matter. When God interrupts your path, and he grabs your heart and he transforms your life from the inside out, you will be different. If you're not, check your pulse. Check your spiritual pulse. Look at where you're at. Am I feeding on God? Am I walking with him? A couple years back, God changed my direction even farther. And as you know, I'm sitting in church one day and he says, he called me, he says, he asked me to, I remember thinking of this place, and when Pastor Tim had left, or was getting ready to leave, and start the bridge, you know, and we had this exodus of people coming and going, leaving and so on. And I just said, God, what's going on here? What are we going to close up? Whatever, you know, what is all this? And I just remember, because when you follow God, you have a heart that says, God, I want you to speak to me. Now, when he speaks, sometimes we're a little hesitant on what he says, and we don't always act. I said, what is going on? What's the deal? And he showed me Steve and Carol and Sandy, and he asked, and I saw them trying to hold this whole thing together, to lead this church, this congregation. And he says, are you ready to step up? I said, no, man, you got the wrong guy, man. We're not going down that road, you know. And I couldn't get away from it. I could not get away from it. And so I wrote it out, and no, man, I just had a bad pizza or something, you know. I mean, I was struggling with all that. But God was, and see, the thing is, he'd already been speaking to me somewhat before that day. He also sent other people to me. I had two other people come up to me 6 months prior and says, you know, I think you're supposed to be the pastor here. I just said, yeah, okay. Man, I'm going to put that on the shelf. And just went about my way. And it's like, there's no way. You know, I'm doing what I was doing. Anyway, long story short, I couldn't get away from it. It was something that when God has a call, a specific call in your life. Now, when I say specific, he's called all of you out of the darkness. He's called you into the kingdom of God, and he's equipping you as you fill with the Spirit, as you learn of him, as you partake of him. He has taken you, and he has sent you into this world, wherever this world is for you, whether it's full-time here 5-7 days a week, if it's out on a job, it doesn't matter. You were here. Your position has changed. You're in light. Your eyes are open. Your heart is open. Jesus is filling that space, and hope to God that you're listening and you're feeding on him and you're moving in him. Okay. There's specific other calls that he has when in the midst of that, which we were doing for 30-some years. And then he says, hey, by the way, we're changing your direction now. And so, anyway, I listened, I heard, and I finally communicated to Steve and the leadership. And I said, hey, look, I'm not kicking any doors down. In fact, I really don't even, I'm hoping you're saying no, but this is, I can't get away from this. This is what God is stirring within me. What is God stirring within you? What is he stirring within you? Listen to that voice. Do you have enough courage to step up and to respond? He's called you to be a servant. The leadership agreed with God. And I am that I am. I am here. I'm going to close with this. I was reading, and then I'm going to have my wife come and sing, because I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity if you're at a place this morning where you're fighting God. God's been speaking to you. He's been tugging at your heart. You're restless. I was going through a restless time. I didn't know, you know, he's stirring you. First off, have you been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and set in the kingdom of light? Have you had those encounters, as we read with Paul, with the early disciples, Peter? Has he got your heart? Has he grabbed your life? If he has, I just sense this morning that there is some people that there's a further call on your life. And you're wrestling with it. You don't know what to do with it. You've been fighting it. You've been arguing with God. And maybe you don't even know that's what that is. But just listen to that call. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. And if you're not sure, we're going to give you an opportunity just to stand and offer your lives once again. And we're going to agree with you in prayer and just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to come speak with you. Our denomination puts out a publication once a month or regularly. And as we were going through this, it's on leadership. But there was a part in here that kind of stood out, talking about that restlessness, that when you're at that point, Tara, if you want to come get ready, that'd be fine. That thing inside of you that just says, you know, you're wrestling with. Anyway, it says this. It says to begin, a calling is simply God's shaping of your burden and beckoning you to your service to Him in the place and the pursuit of His choosing. A call may not necessarily feel attractive, but it will tug on your soul in an inescapable way, no matter how high. No matter how high the cost of following it may be. What stood out was a call may not necessarily feel attractive. When God called me, I was fighting it. But it will tug. It'll tug on your soul in an inescapable way, no matter how high the cost of following it may be. You sensing that this morning? A few years, shortly after we were married, I want to have my wife sing a song that she wrote. It came from Jeremiah. Just close your eyes and listen. Is it on, Natalie?
I have called you to be a servant, and I am sending you to those who are in need. So keep your eyes on me, and soon everyone will see that I'm in you, and you've grown to be like me. And do not say, I am young, Lord. And do not say, you cannot speak. For in your mouth I have put my word. Be not afraid, but go forth in my name. I've anointed you to preach my word and teach it, to lay your hands upon the blind that they might see. So keep your eyes on me, and soon everyone will see that I'm in you, and you've grown to be like. Not say, I am young, Lord, and do not say, you cannot speak, for in your mouth I have put my word, be not afraid, but go forth in my name, and do not say,
this morning, if you're here and you don't know, you have yet to encounter what Paul encountered or Peter encountered, that personal relationship with Christ, and you'd like to, I'd like you to stand. We just want to lift you in prayer, come alongside you, and introduce you to the Savior of this world, this Jesus. Thank you, babe. If you've been wrestling with something, you know, God has just been calling you, he's been stirring you, and you have this unsettled thing inside of you. You may or may not know what it is. But you want to say yes to God, Lord, here's my life. I don't know what that will look like. There may be fear, there may be stuff that you're struggling with that's keeping you. As Jonah was running from the presence of God, maybe it's time to stop running and turn it around and say, God, here I am. I want you to stand. I'd like to just pray with you this morning. Just take a second. Thank you, God. Welcome to ministry. Lord, anybody else? It's all right, man. Just be you. It's okay. I'm going to be me. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you that you stir us, that you cause us to, you call us. God, for the uncertainty of those who have stood and for the willingness to stand before you and say, present their lives before you, God. Holy Spirit, you're the counselor, the Spirit of truth, who leads us and guides us and directs us and proclaims to us the things that are to come. For those who struggle with fear and walking with you and moving in your grace, God, give them strength this morning, clarity of vision, give them an understanding of you, God, that you will not leave them or forsake them, but that your hand is upon them, Lord, and make a way. One thing you just have to remember, when God spoke that to me in Jeremiah, that I, you know, where I send you, you shall go, I have anointed you, and I also knew that wasn't for that very same day, that it was something that was going to take place in my life in the as days went on. I don't know what time frame it was. But I just knew that it wasn't just because God spoke to me one second that I was supposed to drop everything I was doing and just change directions. Now, sometimes there's people need to do that, and if he'll make that clear. But he will unfold that as you move forward. He doesn't care about your abilities, your inabilities. I've said this many times, but your availability. Will you make yourself available to God? Has he touched your life? Has he grabbed your heart? Is he stirring you? Are you wrestling with God right now? Lay that at his feet and let him come and make a way for you. Father, thank you for your word today, for your people. Let's all stand this morning. God, I just ask your blessing upon everyone this morning as we move forward, that throughout this day, that you will continue to speak to us, hold us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, we love you. You're the center of our being. As Steve sang the songs, without you, we don't have a way, but you are a source. Let that ring out in our hearts today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.